So you guys been hot enough? Yeah? Well, me too. Me too. I've been speaking with Dad about every day. And I asked him yesterday morning, I guess, or maybe it was this morning, what would he like me to tell you guys? And he said to tell you that he was missing you and that he loved you and was thinking about you. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, he got in a fight with a radish yesterday or the day before, and the radish won and broke out three of his partial plate teeth. So he was all discouraged yesterday. So just say a prayer for him. Also, just pray that he'll be able to rest and relax. That's what he needs. You know, he needs everybody. Everybody needs a vacation sometimes. So I'm glad I had the opportunity to come and talk to you today. I've got a little cold, so if you hear me cough or sneeze or blow my nose, you just have to look over me. Today, we're going to be talking about Jonah. Now, I've read the book of Jonah probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 times maybe. And it seems like that a lot of people focus on the first part of the book. You know, where he gets ate. Everybody knows that story. He gets ate by fish, right? It's one of the stories that we've heard in Sunday school from when we grow up, right? He got ate by a fish. He stayed in there 3 days. He got spit out on the beach, right? But I hadn't really, I guess, paid attention to that story. But there's something that happens next. And I thought that was even more interesting than what happened at the beginning of the story. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. And just as a reminder, we've, in our Sunday school class, the past, I don't know, I guess a year or so, we've been talking about how that we want you to have three people that are lost that you're going to work on praying about and witnessing to when you get the opportunity. And if you think about it, if all of us did that in this room, I mean, just think that would be, you know, almost 60, 80 souls would be saved. If all of us just did three people. So if you haven't done that yet, you know, pray about it. Ask God to lay on your heart the three people you want to be on your list. And then today in Sunday school class, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And then we want to pray that the Holy Spirit will start working on them and that God will give us an opportunity, you know, to sow some seeds. And that's all our job really is we sow the seeds. Some will be good, will fall on good ground, and some will fall on a rock and grow nothing. So our responsibility is just to sow the seed. So, Jonah. Let's look in Jonah. I really like the story of Jonah for a couple of different reasons. Probably the thing I like most about is that God gave Jonah a second chance. If you think about it, God has given a whole lot of people a second chance. He gave Peter a second chance. Think about it, right? He gave David, we've talked about David before. He gave him a second chance. and others. So around the time of this story, what was happening is Assyria was basically getting ready to attack Israel. So we have Assyria, and Assyria's biggest city was Nineveh, right? And Nineveh was a huge metropolis. Think of that like, for if you think of the U.S., it would have been like New York City. You know, it was a big, huge city. So politically, Israel was being inclusive. In other words, they wanted to get other people to help them to fight their battles. But religiously, they were exclusive, and they, including Jonah, basically thought that God was their God and nobody else's. Okay? So that's the basic premise of the reason why Jonah did what he did. So Jonah, the book, is broken down into four chapters. You have Jonah's plight, his rescue, right? His sermon, and then his rejection. So if we go to Jonah 1, and another cool thing is that Jonah has really short chapters. I mean, they're not like, they don't have a thousand of verse, right? In fact, the four chapters in Jonah you could probably read easily. In fact, we're going to read all the verses, and you know, but I would encourage you to study Jonah, because while we're just going to be hitting some highlights, you know, there's some things that you can learn if you dig deeper. So Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So God speaks to Jonah, says, hey, Jonah was a prophet, and we all know about prophets, right? They did what God told them to do, or usually they did, right? So God says, hey, Jonah, I got a job for you. So Jonah was probably like, okay, God, what is it? He says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them that they are sinning. I want you to go and preach my message to them and tell them that they sinned, and if they don't straighten up, they're going to be in trouble. So what does Jonah do? Well, he rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So God told him, go to Nineveh. And what does he say? Well, I want to go to Tarshish. So he goes the whole opposite way away from Nineveh. So what happens when he's out to sea? But the Lord sent out a great wind. There was a mighty tempest, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the guys on the ship were afraid, and they cried out. They cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that they were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I thought that was very interesting. So he gets in a ship. The ship has a huge storm, so big that they start throwing stuff off. It was probably like a cargo ship, so they're throwing all their cargo in the sea. The sea dudes are saying, hey, pray to your God, whoever it is. You know, we're going to sink. Where was Jonah? He was asleep. You know, so obviously, this was kind of odd to me. I mean, if the Lord told me to do something, and I was doing the exact opposite of what he told me to do, I don't think I could have slept. I mean, I don't know about you, but obviously Jonah that wasn't what he did. He was asleep. And so the shipmaster came to him and said, "What are you doing? Arise and call upon your God, and if so, that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know from whom this cause is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So casting lots, if you know what that is, that's like they're rolling the dice to see who was the guilty person. And the guilty person was Jonah. In fact, it says that before he came on the ship, he actually told them. I mean, Jonah seems like an odd character. He told them, he said, "Hey, I'm running away from God, just so you know." Right? I mean, think about it. And then they have the big storm at sea, and then in the verses that remain, he says, "Hey, it's my fault. Just throw me in to the ocean." And so, starting at verse 10, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Like I said, he must have told them, he must have been bragging when he was getting on ship. "Hey, God told me to go to Nineveh, and I'm not going. I'm going to Tarsus, so take that." Right? Come on, Jonah. So now, what are some reasons why that he didn't want to go to Nineveh, do we think? Well, one of the reasons is because Nineveh was a bad place. The Assyrians were some bad people. In fact, I read an illustration that said, for Jonah, going to Nineveh would be like a Jew who lived in New York in World War II going to Berlin to preach to Nazi Germany. That would have been how it was. So if you think about it, I guess I can figure out maybe why he would have done that. You know, I mean, Assyrians were bad. I mean, they didn't just, you know, they killed their prisoners. They beheaded them. They were pagan. They worshipped idols. Right? So that was a good reason. So maybe he thought he would get some points with the men in the ship when he said, "God said to go to Nineveh, but I'm not going." So anyway, Jonah 2. So he's been thrown out, and he's in the fish's belly. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." So he is in the belly of the fish, a stinky, stinky place to be, if you think about it. He has seaweeds wrapped around his head, so he's not in a very good position. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray for that I have vowed. Salvation is the Lord." So basically, he says, "Okay, God, I guess there is more than one way to skin a cat, and I guess you told me to do something, and I disobeyed, and now I'm in the belly of the fish, so I will go to Nineveh. But something even funnier happens. Jonah starts to have a bit of a pity party. So even though that he tells him, yeah, okay, I don't want to be in this fish anymore. I will do whatever that you say. I will go to Nineveh and I will preach whatever that you want me to preach. Just let me out of here. He was still being like a little kid. So, Jonah 3. All right. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So the first time he didn't listen. So the second time, do you think he's going to listen? Did he learn his lesson? Yeah? Hopefully so. It's kind of funny. Should I tell on myself or not? Huh? Yes. Okay. I'll tell on myself. There was, this was a time when I didn't learn my lesson so good. There was a time in my youth when I worked for a Kroger store. And my family went on summer vacation. And so I asked my boss, could I go on vacation with them, you know? And he was like, no, you must work. You have to stay here and work. You know, they was having some kind of big inspection. So I said, okay, I will work. So we finally squared it away with the family. So they went, I think that was a trip you guys took to like the Pennsylvania Dutch country or whatever. Anyway, I probably wouldn't have had much fun up there anyway. But so anyway, I'm at my friend George's house. I went over there to eat. His mom was a great cook. Went over there. And Arby, my friend whom I've talked about before, Arby comes in and says, let's go to the beach. Me and George thought he was kidding. We're like, sure, I'll go to the beach, whatever. So here he comes again, you know, and about a half hour later he says, let's go to the beach. We're like, okay. And he looked at us and he said, you have a half an hour to pack your bags. So I called my boss and lied to him. I said, someone has passed away. And I need to take some time off. I write a letter to my mom and dad. I think it was like 10 words. I said, dear mom and dad, have gone to the beach, don't know when I will be back. Tim. And left it on the kitchen table. Yep. Am I an idiot or what? So we go down to the beach, had a wonderful time. I had never ever been to the beach before. Fell in love with the beach. You know, have you ever had some times in your life where like a song, you hear a song and it kind of reminds you of a time in your life? Well, the song that reminded me then was I Wear My Sunglasses at Night. I bet we heard that song 1,000 times on the way down there, you know. So anyway, I get home, I was like, oh my goodness, what have I done? So my dad, he's like, I called and talked to your manager, and I know what you told him. So dad made me go to the, I lost my job. So my dad made me go to the manager. I had to go to the manager, and he made me apologize to him. So I went and said, I'm sorry that I lied to you and caused you to get in a bad mess. And so the bad thing was that after all this happens, And where me and my dad are sitting next to each other, my dad looks at me and he says, if you had it to do over again, he said, would you have done it? And I told him no. I told him yes, I would have done it. Can you believe that? How stupid can I be? Yeah? So that's kind of how Jonah did. Although Jonah, you know, so he goes to Nineveh, right? And he preaches, but really, in Jonah 3, he really does not give an outstanding sermon. I mean, so Jonah, and this was his sermon. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Period. That was his sermon. You know, so he was like, well, God, since you said I'm going to have to come and preach, I'm going to preach, but this is what I'm going to say. And that's what he said. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all he said. He walked the streets. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Right? If you think about it, I mean, that is not... But the most astonishing thing about that sermon was the next sentence, which is in verse 5 of chapter 3. And it said, so the people of Nineveh believed God. So obviously, you don't have to have a big, super, well thought out sermon. I was thinking, maybe today I would just come and do that, but you guys probably would not have liked that. But you know, it was like, I think it was like 5 words in Hebrew. It's like 8 words in English. You know. But the people of Nineveh listened, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. So they had a revival in Nineveh. From the greatest, from like the president, right, the Assyrian president, down to the lowest servant boy. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. So they had a fast, not just the people fast, they had an animal fast. Their cows and chickens and dogs, everybody fasted. Right? But let man and beast, and everybody's going to be covered with sackcloth and ashes. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And verse 10 says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do to them, and he did it not. So God changed his mind. Which, if you think about it, it's why he sent Jonah there in the first place. Right? If he had thought they hadn't had any chance in repenting or whatever, he wouldn't even send him. So he sends Jonah. Jonah gives his little 8-word sermon. The people listen, and what do you think Jonah did? This is the saddest part to me. You know, let's take a step back for a minute. Okay, Nineveh was a huge city. It had 5 walls that surrounded it. The walls of this city were 100 feet high. Think about that. That is huge. 100 feet high. And they were so... the tops of the walls were so wide, they were like 50 feet wide. so that four chariots could race along the top of the wall. Can you imagine that, how huge it was? There was about 120 or so thousand people that lived there. And if you think back then, that's like I was talking about, like New York City. That's kind of like what it could be compared to. Okay? But God had, I think he had prepared them. They had, history tells us that they had faced a couple of plagues that had been there. And also there had been an eclipse of the sun near and around this time. So God had prepared their city to be converted. Then he sends Jonah, who was kind of like, if you think about it, an unwilling preacher. He went around, hey, your city is going to be destroyed if you don't listen to Jesus. I know you won't anyway. Hey, blah, blah, you know. That was his attitude. So anyway, he's in the sin city, Nineveh, preaching his eight-word sermon. And the people of Nineveh were kind of like a terrorist. And he goes on to the east side of the city and builds him a little shanty, right? And he waits for 40 days to see what will happen. He's probably saying, oh, I'm going to get to see the fireworks. God is going to rain some fire and brimstone down on these. And what happens? His little sermon worked. It was the greatest revival in history. Think about it. 120,000 people converted by an eight-word sermon. You know, that is awesome if you think about it. So what does Jonah do? He pouts. He pouts like a little baby. Right? He didn't get his way and he wants to die. Think about it. That's what he did. What kind of prophet is this dude? I mean, think about it. Jonah 4 and verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was very angry. Dude. I mean, think about it. And so he prays to the Lord, okay? I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentant thee of evil. So basically he says, God, this is why I ran to Tarshish. I knew you wasn't hurt him anyway. Basically what he says. I knew you were you're too loving and you're too kind. So that's why I went. I didn't want to give him a chance because see what's happened. Therefore, verse 3, now for, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. So he says, just kill me. Kill me now. Verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, like I said, and he made his little hut. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. So he's out here, and like a tree grows up next to him, and it has a big gourd. And it must have been hot there because this gourd provided him with shade. And so he loved the gourd, right? Yeah? And so what happens? And it came to pass that when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the book. Gourd. So the gourd died. Yeah? And so the next day, God turned up the heat and the thermometer, and Jonah was sitting there having a big pity party. Oh, I'm going to die of heat stroke. If I had just had that gourd, I would be okay. I miss my gourd. And you know, God says, dude, you need to chill out. He says, you're mad because your gourd is gone. And yet I was getting ready to kill 120,000 people. And you are sad because I didn't do that. Right? And he said, dude, you need to wake up or something. Right? You know, you have a lot more. I mean, you're sad. You're crying because your stupid gourd died. And yet, I am saving 120,000 people, and you are wish that I would kill them? Jonah, wake up. Yeah? So what are some things that we can learn from Jonah? There's, like I said, we could probably spend a month or 2 months or 5 months when you get down into the nitty-gritty of stuff. One question, did the story of Jonah really happen? Yes, it did. Because in Matthew 12, 39 to 41, you know, it tells us that it did. Because Jesus referred back to it. Right, and he wouldn't have referred back to it if it wasn't real. So, like Jonah, some of us have had numerous events in our life that should have produced changes to our prejudices. But we push ahead with our own narrow-minded, uninformed, unbalanced, hateful agenda and fail to ever learn the heart of what God is trying to tell us. You know, prejudice is bad. You know, there are a lot of ways that we can be prejudiced against someone. We can be prejudiced because of, you know, their place or position. I know I've told you guys the story before. I probably, you know, looked down for whatever reason, stupidly, I guess, of, you know, the poor people that like use food stamps sometimes. But I'll never forget in Oklahoma, Lawton, Oklahoma, some guy probably saved my life, you know, by giving me that's when they still had the Monopoly money. You know, he gave me a $20 food stamp bill and said, we'll buy you some food. Never forget it. Bought peanut butter, bread, and ice cream, and L.A. root beer. I'll never forget walking down that checkout line. The little checkout girl was a hottie. Ooh, yeah. You know. I walk up, and she rings the deals, and she says, would that be cash or charge? I said, a food stamp. You know, I shouldn't have been that way. You know, God, that's the whole premise of God, is to love everybody. In fact, the big job we should have is love those people that are not loved. Right? You know, that's something I try to teach my daughter. We should love our enemies. That is the hardest thing. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. The hardest thing in the world. My daughter was having trouble at school with some crazy chick. She was like, Dad, what am I going to do? And I said, well, what's she doing? You know, she's not hitting on you or anything, is she? And she's like, no, Dad. You know, I don't know what I have to do if she did that. But, you know, she's just, you know, makes up all kinds of stuff. And I said, try this. I said, try being nice to her. She said, Dad, that's stupid. You know, that's not going to work. You know, I said, listen, Haley, in the Bible it says when you're nice to somebody that's not nice to you, it's just like taking coals, and a coal is like the hot stuff out of a fire, and putting it on their head. Really? It says that in the Bible? Yes, it does. She said, okay. She said, I will try it. And you know, she came back a couple of days later. Says, wow, that worked. You know. And it does work, because people who are not kind to you expect you to reciprocate against them. In fact, that's what some people have, an agenda, and that's all they want to do is hurt people. Unfortunately, that's the way life is. You know. But when you do something totally outside the box and help them, then they have, you know, like when I was talking to Haley, I said, well, what if, you know, what do you want to do? Well, I want to start a rumor on her or something. And I said, well, look, I said that, you know, so you start a rumor. Well, you know, what good does that do? She finds out, and then what does she do? She starts something else on you, right? And it's a big vicious cycle. I said, if you're nice to her, you end the cycle. You stop it, right? Amen, right? Okay. You know, something else, well, I'm about to close, but something else that is important to remember about the story of let's back up one step. So who is our Nineveh? That's what we need to think about. Everybody has a Nineveh. You know, something or someone or something that you're running away from. You know, maybe God has told you to do something, and for whatever reason, you've not done it. Well, that's your Nineveh. This week, today, you want to start thinking about that, and you want to work on conquering your Nineveh. You know, in an interview with Diane Sawyer, Billy Graham was asked the question, if you could rid the world of one problem, what would it be? Guess what he said? Prejudice. You know. So we need to work, and everybody has a Nineveh. I mean, I do. I'm sure you guys do, so we need to work on that. The other thing is God, in this story, God controlled a lot of things. He controlled the wind and the waves, you know, in chapter 1, right? He caused the storm to come up. He controlled the gourd and the worm and the wind in chapter 4, right? He caused all those things to happen. But he could not control Jonah, right? He does not control us. Right, we have to allow ourselves. We have free will. That's the whole deal. That's why we sinned. Right? If God had wanted to, He could have made it to where we were robots, and you know, there would have been no Adam and Eve and the snake. Right? But we have a free will. So God Himself can't help you with your prejudices unless you're willing to surrender to Him. Just say, hey, God, help me with this. You know, you're more powerful than me. Help me to do better. Don't run away from them. Running away gets you what? Gets you tossed to the whale, right? Things can only get worse when you run away. Running away from problems never, ever works. You know why? Because when you run away from them, does the problem go away? Nope. Still there when you come back. Is your obedience up to date? Are you giving Are you going in the direction that God has asked you to go, or are you resisting him? So Jonah, he resisted. He went kicking and screaming, right? In fact, he did more than kick and scream. He went kicking and screaming and then decided that he wasn't going to do a good job, right? But even, do we not have an awesome God? I mean, I'm sure God was up there saying, ha, 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 ha. Oh, sure, he was laughing at Jonah. Jonah, good sermon, brother. 120,000 people saved. And Jonah's in his little shack going, where's my gourd? You know, we have no right to be angry about God's forgiveness. We all have some prejudices. You know, confront your prejudices and we can all win. So, one thing is what ended up happening to Nineveh. I was curious. After Jonah comes the book of Nahum. Right? Didn't realize this. Nahum ministered in Nineveh just as Jonah did, but he did it 100 years later. This time, the Ninevites had no interest in repentance. And because of this, Nahum condemned Nineveh, and that's why now it's destroyed. So one of the most moving truths that comes from this story is the fact that God gave Jonah a second chance. So some of you here today have chosen to disobey God or are going in the opposite direction. You found your ship and you're sleeping your guilt away. Circumstances are seemingly favorable for your willful disobedience. But before things get any rougher, you're cast out into a raging sea of sin's consequences. So why don't you come back to the harbor and, you know, get down to business. Pray about it.
Jim. Appreciate that. Number 204, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this message. Lord, we just praise you that you, well, you give us a Nineveh, you give us the way to address those problems and to learn and to worship you. Father, we ask that you would go with us this day. Bless us, help us to be in your will. In all these things, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.